the secret is that you don't give very much information about yourself because it will be stated in public. So thanks to Paul for inviting me tonight, and it's really great to be in Cork. I've never been to Cork, and it is as zany and fun and interesting and talented as everybody says. So just in a few hours, that's what my I've surmised. So I'll start out with a poem. A lot of my book Consent is set in Miami, which is where I was living before I came to Ireland. So I know, what was I thinking with this one? Sort of, but it does. This is great. This is like Miami. But yeah, so I came from Miami, so a lot of the poems are set there. And so this is a Sunday morning, or the morning after the night before kind of poem, walking through South Beach of Miami and reflecting. Sunday morning. The seeds of the royal palm look like puke or flax. Up in the fronds, bees are knocking them around and down onto the pavement. On the corner, a couple in wheelchairs sing, "The summer I hear the drumming, four dead in Ohio." Down further, a guy hoses the sidewalk towards sewer grates that filter out used condoms, fake eyelashes, handbills, actual wretch. Some of the spray hits my ankle. Whatever doesn't wash down will dry out in the Miami sun and be swept into a dustpan. This is the point in the poem where I must sing such beauty. The world, its complexities and contradictions. And I hesitate. Yesterday, at the nude beach, I paid $6 to take off all my clothes and roast my ass to match my back. I stretched out on the border between the gay section and the rest, my head pointed towards bears and leather daddies. My arms reached toward the small island of lesbians. My ankles were nearly in with the straights. I thought I could feel them preparing to yank me over by the Achilles tendons. I fell asleep, wondering if my labia are visible, if I'm flat on my stomach, with my legs together. They are pretty long. I thought I felt a bug crawl between my legs, but it was just sweat trickling. And when I sat up, there it was, the test of my poet's vision. The longest, sweatiest foreskin I have ever seen. Pink and glistening in the sun like folded sliced ham. The French call my feeling le dégoût, disgust. The stronger adjective is dégueulasse, revolting. It wasn't any other body there that day, or any other body part that caused it. And there were all sorts. And now, at this cafe, these people next to me are eating a pizza with that guy's foreskin spread all over it. I ask them if the pizza is good. Yes, it really is. I reach into my bag where the powder waits. I tear it from the package that says, classic beige, lightweight, and natural. I spread it on my sweating porcine face. So transition from foreskins to a poem about my grandmother, and this poem I struggled to write for a while after she passed away, and I think I finally got where I wanted to go. So it's, you know, with dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that, I'm sure people have had experiences with that before, so. Grandma. I don't know if you noticed, but a cat has taken a bird and left a struggle of feathers on the porch. You know me, you don't know me, you know me. You burn through the bottoms of four coffee pots. You serve your grandchildren raw sausages on Sundays. When you're hungry, you eat ice cream. You forego shots of botulism in the face to stop the twitching in your eye. You are still beautiful. Like a baby mouse, your bones and veins breathe through your skin. You wear his sweater with the sleeves pushed up. Tuck fresh Kleenex under the wristband with discretion. You know him. Your eye twitches and hones. You don't know me. You know me. You don't know me. You know me. You. Me. Take me to the kitchen. Show me how to do this. So obviously I'm not from Ireland. I'm from the States, as was covered in the introduction, which covered everything but my blood type. So I come from a family that's very different than me. As you can probably tell from the foreskin poem, I'm not conservative. And my family are members of the Tea Party, and they're very not like me. So that results, but at the same time, I love them, and I always tell them that the way I am is just because of what they taught me, so which is true, and the values that they taught me, which they don't realize that they are. So clearly that makes for interesting conversation when I do go back home, and the kind of the policy is not to talk politics, which is a policy that I follow, but they do not follow, so which is causes ructions, as you say, in Ireland. But so this is about a wonderful meal that my dad made. He makes the best barbecue ribs, and then how he destroyed that meal. On Red Arrow Highway. On Red Arrow Highway, the cat's leg is rigor mortis in a salute. Children scramble on hands and knees in the cemetery, chasing hot shells that rain down from 21 guns. The U.S. Army chaplain holds a feather and a knife wrapped in beaded leather. He explains Memorial Day and the role of warriors in his tribe and in America. He prays to the earth, the Great Spirit, and Jesus Christ. That night at the table, my father says, "They lost, the Indians. They should have fought harder. They should quit whining." I am holding a bone to my mouth. I am licking and biting and sucking. I am tossing it into a bowl with the others. I could counter with a list of fighting things: drones, democratically elected leaders deposed and replaced by dictators, assisted ethnic cleansing, Fort Benning, the Glocks we buy for our kids to shoot on the ranges or at school. We sit and chew ribs with salt and beer. We separate spine from flesh. We talk with bones in our mouths. We talk with our mouths full of them. And what we say is dead and hollow. The squatters keep building tin houses on my friend's land, and he offers me half its value if I go to Brazil with a machete and some Portuguese and make them stop for the next 3 years. The squatters keep giving birth without C-sections and use gravity rather than forceps to let it all out. The squatters keep breathing in and out, in and out. Sat Nam. Truth is your highest identity. I am squatting over you, here on the bed. And God damn it, I have to put cunt in a poem one more time, because you are looking up at mine saying, Jesus. To squat is to live free. To squat is to trust that your insides will get ripped out in the best way possible. To squat is to sink low at the knees, but not lock them. To squat is to linger and let the lips separate and speak, saying, I can't imagine never having known you. Suddenly I have a book, so it's very disorganized because I can't put anything in order. So here's a Dublin poem, what kind of a Dublin poem that ends up in Alabama afterwards. April, Dublin. Spring hangs leaves indiscriminately, throws down dandelions onto vacant lots. Another body is loosened from the canal bottom by a cormorant gulping fresh spawn. Councils purge piebald horses, round them up for secret executions, as families tidy town hopefuls, blow dust from the paths, though it blows back in their faces, blast moss from the stone wall at the crossroads where the boy made his gallows speech for stealing an apple before he was hanged and wrapped in the freshest sheet his skin had ever touched. In these long-lit days, women walk home a different way, or a little later, or in less clothing. Some regret it. Others know they could. That old phrase of possession meant as a deterrent. Would you want someone to do that to your own sister? Imagine she is your daughter. Though in that speech the boy said it, the apple was not mine and was hanged anyway. In my kitchen, I get down on hands and knees and scrub floors the Alabama way and think of kettlefuls of boiling water poured down women's throats by priests or members of the laity and how some folks pressure hose some others or hang them from live oak trees. Heavy, I feel like, but I hope that's okay, because that's kind of what I do. So I've been working on a series of poems, as was mentioned in the introduction, on the Sheila Gigs, which I'm sure most people know what those are. The stone, for people who don't, the stone carvings of female figures exposing their vulvas, which, as you've already heard, is a perfect topic for me, are found on churches, castles, town walls, and nobody really knows why they exist. There's arguments about it, but they're not documented, and so it's just people argue about it. And I find that a perfect thing to write about, because nobody really knows. So I've written a series of poems on those, and so I'll read you a few of those poems. And I also, I should say, went on an obsessive journey to see 63 of them, which cost a lot of money, and was really fun. And I got to see parts of Ireland that I've never seen. And I have, but the two places where I haven't seen Sheila Gigs are Cork and Kerry, because we ran out of cash. So supposedly there's two in the City Museum, which from what I've tried to Google doesn't exist anymore. But I'll have to talk to somebody afterwards about that.
It does. It does.
Okay, so I go there tomorrow. Okay, good. Excursion. We left early. We have a film of this. We're cutting through the Phoenix Park. The mist hangs heavy and the deer are still huddled together. The flags at the gates of the two important houses are barely visible. Just three colors on each, blurred. I applaud us into the lens for leaving so early. We were always leaving late, and we'd be cursing if we hadn't seen at least two by the end of the day, if we could even find one. Most were shown to us, always by proud old women in cardigans building shrines in the front garden and waiting for suns to slice it out of the old wall at last. Always children leading the way on motorbikes to unmapped townlands. Always children rubbing grass in the outline to bring its parts out. Always confident male farmers, all of everything under control, even, oh, that thing. always ancient male farmers with cleft palates and soft voices and pride in what they dug up from their fields. Always mad women eyeing you up, leading us through trap doors and crumbling castles and asking at the end for a donation. Always mad women at desks demanding ID when we said we wished to study it. Always women mad with delight saying, I had never known of it until 10 minutes ago at the table when I heard of it first, so I can tell you exactly where it is. Always tall women who told us when we said her garden was gorgeous, well, I lost my job. Always priests thrilled for visitors, asking us to come back. Always priests telling us we'd better come inside and tour the church instead. Never anyone to help us find them. Only bullocks and fields running us down, and us just barely making it to the car, and the broadcast right then, 70-year-old male farmer killed by a bullock. The broadcast right then, always dark, children abused by the clergy. The broadcast right then, always dark, children's horses rounded up and slaughtered. The broadcast right then, always dark, an old woman crying, someone, please, just visit. Never anyone to help us find them. The broadcast right then, the Taoiseach is drunk. I'll read you another Shionagate poem called All Saints Day. Tendons mark the necks of hungry children, with a number 11 at the base of the head. It records the odds, 1-1, a 50-50 chance of making it out alive. And in what way, with no winnings? That was 1973, the same year poor kids and men burned a black horse alive on Halloween night, leading her to the grassy patch of the estate the church had plotted and shaped like a Celtic cross, each road named after an abbey or site of holy significance. But Clonmacnoise and Cashel mean something different when you're getting your head kicked in, or when the sight of humping dogs on your walk home from school reminds you of the Christian brother pressing himself into your back. In the County Museum, tiny shoes are lined up in the glass case. The caption says how strange it was that they were given shoes at all. In the next room, there's an eviction of mannequins from a thatched cottage. They still wear their clothes-selling expressions and painted nails under tattered bonnets and rags. Has a flashed cunt quelled the pyre lately? Put an end to the number 11s? What of the Girador, the living Sheila Giggs, the hags, the women who simply lift their skirts and end the insanity with a how dare you? Or are cunts too tidy now, neatly swept out and fumigated for all our sakes, or rubbed out, hacked down from church walls, the lips and hands that open them pulverized, eyes left behind sometimes, but nothing to attest to what's seen. We slide our hands along the whips and gags for sale, stare back at the glass eye on the ceiling and the mannequins in the corner, consider the options of frills or leather. A strap around the neck would conceal well-fed flesh. A rubber ball in the mouth would shut me up. I've been saying far too much, too loud, sounding off. How dare I? What sound did the black horse make on the makeshift pyre? How did she look as she picked her way over broken toys and doors? Who paraded her round and rode her to the green, already wet with petrol? On All Saints Day, whose legs could still feel her shape? Thank you. one more poem that's two sections, so if that's good. Unless you want me to keep going. But I'll read this. And I don't know how I'm doing. I have no idea. Because I've been talking, so.
You're okay.
You're fine.
Okay, then I'll read a shorter poem. I'll read a shorter poem before I read the final poem. If that's okay.
Yeah.
You're noting one of my favorite subjects, which I don't think will be in my next book, but anyway. Chicken skin. When you don't bread a chicken body, you see its skin quite clearly. Feather hairs once emerged from raised holds. And some people plan rape fantasies just to feel their arms and legs spread at the sockets like the chicken's legs and wings before they're cut from the body. And maybe that makes some sense. This is not a vegetarian poem, but you should know that there's no real fixity. The uterus and fallopian tubes just float inside us. I never really saw chicken skin until at 18 I saw the inside of my labia majora. I had worried it was wrong. I was wrong. The nurse said, "No, that's your chicken skin. We all have it. Just ask any of us."
Really good.
Where's that thing?
Okay, so this is called Sanctus, and it has an epigraph from Joyce. And what is death? Your mother's or yours or my own? At the English pub in Indianapolis, we discuss technology. He says he can already hear the robot's footsteps on his grave. In the worst neighborhoods, the prairie is coming back. Cattails are pushing up through old sidewalks, and nearly all the important species of sparrows have returned. A future farmer of America, in other words, a 14-year-old white kid from the pesticide-drenched heartland, slips backwards from a mall railing and falls to his death among the super pretzels and Dippin' Dots down in the food court. I get reminded of the incest dreams I've had, one for each parent. My mother calls and gives me the rundown on which of her friends is on a morphine drip and which is in remission. And she tells me that when I get back to Miami, I should get a job and always keep a full tank of gas. The homiletic style of evangelical Christianity is the same in Ghana, San Diego, Little Havana, and on Ellettsville, Indiana's Hart Straight Road, where in the abortion scene of the Halloween morality play, she yanks a skinned squirrel soaked in beet juice from the screaming girl's crotch and holds it up with food service tongs before tossing it on a cookie sheet. You'll have a clean slate if you accept Jesus right now. We'll all have a clean slate if you accept Jesus now. The body of Christ, amen. The body of Christ, amen. The body of Christ, amen. Don't drop it. Use a metal plate with a handle that could guillotine a communicant's neck. And on the third day, I drank poutine at an Irish pub in Bloomington, Indiana, in fulfillment of the scriptures. Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is the bloodshine of the newest and most everlasting covenant. Don't drop it. Death is a real bummer. We live through and for our parents, and still Freud was wrong. You should hurry up and put your face in it for an hour, and that is definitely a sacrament, more so than that night in Garucha at the Misa Flamenca, though the music was nice. Even the Sanctus didn't offend me. Finally, I would add that the world is falling apart. Always has been. Ubi sunt qui ante nos fuerint, etc. And that my favorite sounds are when you say things like, "Everything is fine," or "That cunt is mine." I hear them, and I clench and unclench, and I love you. Tell me it's too much, amen. Tell me it's too much, amen. Tell me it's too much. Amen. Let us kneel down facing each other, holding razors. Lather up my head, and I will lather yours. I am worthy to receive you. I am your mirror, on which a razor lay crossed. We'll shave it all off. If our knees can handle it, let's stay like this until it grows back, softer than before. If they can't, let's make love and say, these are our bodies, which will not be given up for any of you. Let us say our own word, and we shall be healed.
Amen.
Thanks very much.